see William Sitwell goes, and now suddenly people say, oh, he's wearing lovely glasses, isn't he? Is he married? I always saw the truth. Honestly, probably too embarrassed to actually go with him. I don't know. He's just an award-winning food writer, editor and critic. People often say the same about, of course, Ian Lennox in terms of writing skills and televisual dramas and various other bits and pieces. Ian, of course, has yet to master the art of listening online. I've promised I will take him through the whole process. I remember, Ian, first time we actually connected telephonically, we had difficulty because you wouldn't accept any outgoing calls from any studio side of things. So just for the case of you had to phone us, which is not really the point, really. Good morning, Ian Lennox. How are you?
Good morning.
Well, here we are at the end of another Midweek Drive Morning Edition, the last Midweek Drive Morning Edition of January 2012, because the next Midweek Drive Morning Edition will be February. Very good. Yeah, time just goes through that whole basis. And you join us on a show which has featured Belinda Warner celebrating Australia Day. Are you doing much to celebrate Australia Day in Newcastle upon Tyne? Because, I mean, I would have thought, why, hey, man, let's go and tune. They have the same bridge.
People talk of little else.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, so is it the Sydney? Is it the Sydney Bridge in Australia? Is it the Tyne Bridge, made you with the same iron and steel?
Richard, built by the same people, I think.
Built by the same people.
I think people. From the northeast, yeah, actually.
Yeah, you see, these non-northeasterners in the studio, they think I'm being, you know, there's method in one sort of perceived manner.
There's a factual basis for what you say.
Always. You know, it's always know the facts. Firstly, real journalism. Facts. Richard Fitzwilliams with his Academy Award nomination scenario. No Natalie Moore as yet. Obviously, that's a little treat we still have to wait for, Natalie Tucker, isn't it? Where we can have Natalie times Natalie. Maybe that's the thing. You know, we can't have more than two. We can have a Natasha on the show. Have a Natasha and a Natalie. Can't have two Natalies.
No. This radio show isn't big enough.
Exactly. Only one from that point of view. Jodie Orton in the studio. Tiffany, I have to say, you're going to tell me now, I had loads of questions for William Sitwell. You didn't ask me once. You didn't have any questions. No.
Well, yeah.
You did. Oh, you see, you should have put your hand up. You should have put your hand up and said, oi. You know, so Amy did, and there we are. So, anyway, the show's been progressing quite nicely. What sort of things have you been doing? How's the next book coming on? And are you set and ready for The Net being the subject of the Book of the Month on Siren FM's sister station, Southside Broadcasting, in February?
Yes, I'm looking forward to that, because you did a nice piece on me on three or four years ago, wasn't it, about the brothers.
Yeah, yeah. On the Book of the Month. Exactly, sir. Yeah. Jodie was very fulsome in your praise. You gave it 10 out of 10, as far as I recall.
Oh,
it's
yes.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Jodie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd add in more compliments here. I may not be up to date with what's going on, but my boyfriend the other day, I told him, I saw something about Ian Lennox. He's like, oh, isn't he a really famous author? Yeah. See?
Yeah, you see.
Right there.
Well, I'm very famous in Gosforth, I know that.
No, Ian.
My drinking exploits are legendary.
If you've actually been sort of clocked by Amy Elise's current boyfriend, sorry, boyfriend, I don't know, I don't want to panic him there, but, you know, always good to keep them on their toes, I find. You know, then clearly you're well on your way to book a...
famous spread to Lincoln, I must be like margarine.
Your Booker Prize-winning routine. I'm going to talk about what's going on with respect to books in aircraft hangars and books in aircraft stationaries and all the rest of bits and pieces. But, Natasha, any questions you want to put to Ian Lennox? It's off the top of your head, etc., given that you didn't receive a running order
spot.
Today. Yeah, exactly. Tiffany, let's go to yourself.
How long did it take you to write your first book?
About 40 years, I think. I started to write it when I was in my early 20s.
Sounds like most essays in the student population.
Yeah. I went off to France sort of romantically and started to write a book then. But I was only 23, 24, and I had no real experience of things. So there was a little glimpse of stuff that was quite good. But really, it wasn't until a long time later that I actually rewrote that book and put it into the 60s, man. Made it into a sort of romantic thriller, really. Which is very different from the original book I wrote. But in the meantime, I'd started to write The Brothers when I was about 32, 33. And that was taken up by a novelist who was a lecturer at one of the colleges up here, and then by a big literary agency in London, with some quite glowing praise, really, but it just didn't get published. And it is dropped like a stone, and happens because it's a commercial enterprise. So it wasn't until I really retired from working in television and I started to write, to address myself to writing, which I'd always wanted to do.
Ian, just changing something slightly. You were a journalist, a very press journalist for the was it the Evening Chronicle and the Journal?
I worked newspaper journalist. I worked on the Evening Chronicle, the Journal up in Newcastle, and Daily Mail in Manchester. I did shifts on Sunday Mirror.
Upbeat person. Did any sort of editor ever come along to talk to you when you were sort of doing your jobbing journalistic things and said, "No point doing anything at all here"? Did you know there's a job here? Have you applied? No. If you don't know, show a hand. That's it. Go away. Go forth and be fruitful.
No. The process we went through was just. When I was 18, I'd done my A-levels, and there was 84 people applied for four jobs.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's
all
right.
And I got one of them. Yeah, and I don't know how the heck I did it. I don't know what the others were looking
because
like.
You focused on the positive, you see. Natalie Tuck.
You don't know an 18-year-old lad straight from school,
man. Yeah, well, you said Natalie Tuck has had a challenging experience without mentioning any names in this particular instance, but I think it's fair to say, Natalie, you were a bit disheartened by an instance you had where a certain correspondent, former editor of a local newspaper, was not very good in terms of the description that he was actually giving the profession or indeed prospective entrance into the profession. Isn't this right?
This is correct, yeah.
Well, he was downbeat about the whole thing.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Well, I think what's been happening in journalism is, I mean, I lived in the sort of halcyon days where when I was on the Daily Mail, we were on a four-day week. Mm. We were working about 7 hours a night.
Three-day drinking, four-day week.
And I was a sub-editor, and we on a seven-hour shift, you got three or four stories to sub, and that would be it. And so the actual sort of ability, the chance you had of turning quality product was fantastic.
Ian,
you couldn't do it. Just because you couldn't do it. But nowadays, the people aren't going into work with pens and pencils. They're going with shovels.
Ian, you have a chance here to actually influence the lives of three fine journalism undergraduates, one of whom is going to be graduating this year, two of whom are graduating in a couple of years' time from now, possibly actually influencing the lives of American Studies graduates to be as well. And communications. Okay, CCC, the particular program is. And I actually have the program leader for this particular area. It's not contemporary communications at all, is it? It's what is the
culture.
Contemporary culture and communications? I don't know.
There's two things. I did some lecturing and media studies.
I want positiveness.
And what I used to tell my students, to justify a degree course was, there are a lot of non-functional degrees you can take, you know, in history, geography, and stuff like that. But if you take a degree in journalism, even if you don't go into journalism, or even into PR, stuff like that, which there's a lot of jobs there as well, you come out with some very good skills. I mean, typing and shorthand is just one of them, but the main thing you have is you have been taught how to approach people and how to deal with people, and you're confident talking to them face-to-face and on the phone, because that's part of being a journalist. And when I went into journalism, there wasn't a university course except for one in America, and we learned on the job. But within about 2 years, or a year maybe, I was a totally different person. I was able to go up to strangers, engage them in conversations, and appear confident, whereas before I'd been really hesitant. I mean, I was a sort of middle-class lad who went to private schools, and when I was 18, I was sent to Tynemouth Magistrates Court, and I stood there thinking, there's a chap with a burglary, and I said, so this is what a criminal looks like. I was actually that sort of detached from the way of the world.
I want a bit more inspiration, Ian. I want a bit more inspiration to this whole thing. I want these girls to be fired. Why should they actually... fired, literally, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm talking about fired with enthusiasm, you know?
The second thing is, I would advise you, if you're determined to go into journalism, what you should be doing during your university course is getting as many work experience things as you can. So you've got a good CV. But don't forget that you're competing against your fellow students when you finish your degree course.
So no competition,
you can get a good reference from your tutors. And also, I would advise you strongly to take up with any job you can to get into the industry, because once you've got your foot in the door, you've got a chance.
Does that help, Natalie? Has that helped offset the thing slightly? You know? We're going to be working on that. Amy?
Can I just add to that? We had our lecture the other day, and we were told, talking about the world of Twitter and, you know, all the networking we can do now.
Yeah.
It's not what you know, it's who you know as well. And in the world of Twitter, you can get out there. And I think especially as a journalist, as Ian was saying, having those skills to, you know, really push forth and get to know people, I think that's a big skill.
I would suggest that Twitter, I mean, if I was a reporter today, I would be getting a big list of Twitterers. of the famous ones, you know, and looking, going through what they're saying, because it's like a source of quote.
Jodie does that, but it's called stalking, cyber stalking. Anyway, we move on from that. Ian, it's been. Are you online? Bless her. No, I appreciate that. Jodie, you're back, of course, with the American Dream Team Drive Time on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Yes.
And all exciting things will be happening with respect to that. Chloe, have you enjoyed your first ever Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
I have.
Coming back again in the near future?
Very much so.
Yes, excellent. Amy will have you, I'm sure. You know, she's got she's casting director, basically. What do you think, Amy? I mean, obviously, double the number of sort of studio co-presenters, so I think they've coped quite well, didn't they, really?
I think they have,
yes. What do you think, Natalie? You think they cope quite well?
Yeah.
Very good. Natasha, welcome back. Good to have you. We're back again for next week's Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Yes, I definitely will.
And Tiffany, back for the Midweek Drive on Wednesday?
Yeah, definitely.
Marvellous. We've got your prep and everything else is sorted through now, which is marvellous.
I'm Angela Rippon, and you're listening to Siren Radio on 107.3 FM.
Thank you very much. Ian, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us?
Yes, I have. Got a few words in this time.
Even with six of us.
exactly, a different line. All right, our final inspirational line from Dean Neil Donald Walsh, wonderful author. If you see yourself as prosperous, you will be. If you see yourself as continually hard up, that's exactly what you will be. Mm. Choice of the matter is, how do you see yourself? Ian, we salute you. If you would like to listen again to some of these things, they will be available online. Siren keeps good music going throughout the rest of the day here on Siren 107.3 FM. To the team in the studio, to Natalie Tuck, Jodie Orton, Amy Elise, Natasha Turney, Chloe Baker and Tiffany Freeman, thank you. Thanks to the aforementioned Belinda Wallace, Richard Fitzwilliams, Harriet Vocking, William Sitwell and Ian Lennox. Can we all say goodbye?
Bye!
We're waiting for you, Ian.
I said goodbye.
Oh.